David was a man after God's own heart, and he served the purpose of God in his own generation. Join Reverend I.T. Matura as he does a study of the life of David and teach practical biblical lessons. Get ready to be empowered and equipped by the Word of God.
Greetings, saints. What a blessing to connect with you today as we look at chapter 1 of our study of the life of David. Chapter 1, which I have titled Early Years of David, and today we begin with lesson 1, which is David anointed at Bethlehem, which covers chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. We're going to do an overview of the study, look at David, an introduction to his life. We look at the first anointing of David. Then we look at, lastly, at the preparation of David. Then I'm going to look at 5 lessons that we draw from chapter 16 of 1 Samuel to conclude today's exposition. Let's get into the Word of God. I want you to get your Bible, get your notebook as you get ready to learn from the Scriptures. Now, an introduction to David. We are first introduced to the name David in the book of Ruth, and we are given his genealogy. So before this, the name is not mentioned, but in the book of Ruth, at the end, in chapter 4, we read there in chapter 4, verse 17, and the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. Obed, he is the father of Jesse. Jesse is the father of David. So we see here David being mentioned, and we are told of his father, Jesse, who was born to Obed. Obed, who was born to Ruth. Ruth, you know, is the Moabite widow who came with Naomi all the way from Moab to resettle in Israel, later got married to Boaz. So Boaz is the father of Obed. Obed is the father of Jesse, and Jesse is the father of David. Now we are given the genealogy of David in that chapter from verse 18 going forward. It traces from Perez right to Obed, to Jesse, and to David, about 10 generations that we see there from Judah. Next, we learn about David when God speaks through prophet Samuel to King Saul that he had found another king after his heart. Now, in this scripture, we'll see that God does not mention the name of David, but he is referring to David. So God, in his wisdom, does not mention it, because this is a word that is being given to King Saul after he had disobeyed, and God is telling him that his kingdom will not continue. He has sought another man who is after his own heart. So he knew if the name of David was mentioned here, Saul was going to begin to look for David to destroy him or to kill him. So God, in his wisdom, releases that word through Samuel, but does not mention the name of David. 1 Samuel 13 and verse 14. But now the kingdom, thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. So Saul, because of his disobedience, his kingdom was cut short, and God sought another man who was after his heart, and that man is David. What a man he was. And this is the man that we are studying, a man who was after the heart of God. Now we want to look at the second part of our overview, David's first anointing. And here we're looking at 1 Samuel 16, verse 1 to 13. You can follow in your Bible as I look at some of the verses. I will not go verse by verse, but I'll pick a few verses as we do an overview of that portion of Scripture. Now, God sends prophet Samuel to anoint one of the sons of Jesse in Bethlehem. You know, Bethlehem means the house of bread. And this is the same Bethlehem that Naomi and her husband used to stay in before they decided to go to Moab when they were fleeing the famine. But there the husband died, the two sons died, and Naomi had to come back with her mother-in-law to resettle again in Bethlehem. So you see, this is the Bethlehem that Jesse also stayed, because he was a Bethlehemite. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 1. And the Lord said to Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Yeesh. It is a scary thing to know that someone can continue to occupy a position, but he has been rejected by God. So Saul was still there as king, but God had rejected him. That's the danger of not being in the perfect will of God. You might retain the title, you might retain the position, but God might have already rejected you. Mercy. May God have mercy on us. Now the verse continues and says, fill thy horn with oil and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. So here we see God sending prophet Samuel. After in verse 13 it says, I have sought myself a man. God did not reveal to him who that man is. Now in chapter 16, already a number of years here, a couple of years have passed by. Now Saul was still mourning and praying for, this is prophet Samuel, I mean to say, was still mourning and praying for Saul, who had been rejected by God. So God comes to rebuke him and say, stop mourning for Saul, because I've already rejected him and I'm not changing my mind. But fill your horn now and go to Bethlehem. There among Jesse's sons, I found a king for myself. And he doesn't mention the name of the king. Samuel is afraid. He says, if King Saul hears about this, I'm a dead man. And God says to him, don't worry about that. Just go and say, I am going to sacrifice in Bethlehem. Now, when Samuel goes into Bethlehem, when he enters the town, great fear fell into that town, because Samuel was a revered man of God. His words did not fall to the ground. So when the prophet entered, the town was shaken. He invites the house of Jesse to come and sacrifice with him. Now he then tells Jesse that God wants to anoint one of your sons because he has been chosen to be king. What an honor, what a privilege. So Jesse aligns all his sons that were there in the home and presents them before the prophet. Verse 6 says, and it came to pass when they had come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord anointed is before him. Now Eliab was the eldest and he was the first to come forward. And when Samuel saw him, because of his stature, his physique, and the way he was presented, Samuel then said, this is surely the Lord's anointed. So even the great prophet was deceived because of looks. Verse 7, God corrects him and says, but the Lord said to Samuel, look not on the on his countenance or on his height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So God corrects prophet Samuel and says, you have used the eyes of the flesh. Like any other man, you consider height, you consider stature. But I am God. I don't consider those things. I consider the heart of a person. That is how I choose people. And he says, this one, even though he has a nice stature, good height, looking smart, I have not chosen him. And that was a correction from the Lord. And thank God that prophet Samuel took that correction. So Jesse brought all his other sons, but all of them, God says, none of these have I chosen. Then Samuel had to ask Jesse, do you have any other son that is there? Then he says, oh, I have another one, the little boy, the last born, who is in the wilderness looking after the sheep. This is where Samuel says, we are not going to sit down until that last born young man comes here. Now you see here, some believe that David was a child of another woman who was not really Jesse's wife. So he was not treated or welcomed among the other brethren. So he was always on the peripheries, on the outskirts. But another line of thought is that this was the youngest. And as the young one, he was given the responsibility to take care of the sheep. So when Samuel entered the city or the town of Bethlehem, he was not available to hear the news that there was a king to be chosen. So he was far away, alone, tending the sheep of his father. But when the anointing is for you, no matter where you are, the anointing of God will locate you. It doesn't matter, people might try to cover you. People might try to deny you a chance. But when God has chosen you, no one can stop God from anointing you. When God has purposed to anoint you or to bless you, he will take you from the backside of nowhere and he will put his anointing upon your life. Listen to what verse 12 of chapter 16 says. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was a ruddy with a beautiful countenance. This was a young, handsome boy, goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Hallelujah. Now Samuel had heard God saying, I have chosen a man after my own heart. So I think whenever he was picturing, he was seeing a grown man. But God speaks of a person considering his destiny, not his present stature. So when he spoke of a man in the present, David was still a boy. So Samuel could have gotten confused. So when this young man comes, a young boy, at that time David was around, according to scholars, 17, 18 years of age, the last born of his father. When he enters, this young, handsome, ruddy, that means he had some rough edges, but yet still handsome and good to look at. And the Lord said, yes, arise, anoint him, for this is he. This is the first time then Samuel sees the one the Lord had chosen. Verse 18, then Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. This is the anointing of David in the midst of his brethren. Now, this is the first anointing that we see in the life of David. As we study, you see that there are other anointings that he's going to receive in the future. But this was the anointing that prepared him for his destiny. The Bible says when the oil was poured from the ram's horn, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day going forward. So when we talk about the anointing, it's not necessarily the oil. That is just a symbol, a resemblance. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon. There is that upon experience. It came upon David, and that day was the beginning of a new season in David's life. When the anointing of God locates you and it comes upon you, your life will not remain the same. That day, David entered into his season of preparation. The anointing at Bethlehem was in the midst of his brothers. No one else was there. It was among those that looked at him as a young boy, looked at him as someone who would not do much. But amongst his brethren, God anointed him. This is a private anointing. It is not a public anointing. It is a few people witness you being anointed. But it is an anointing that will prepare you for the destiny that lies ahead. Now, the third portion of this overview, we look at David's preparation. Soon after the story of David's anointing, we are told that the spirit left Saul and an evil spirits began to torment him. Oh, what a scenario. On the other end, in Bethlehem, David is being anointed. Now, in Gibeah or Saul, where Saul was, the Spirit of the Lord is departing. Hey, mercy. The Lord's anointed is still on the throne, but the Spirit is no longer with him. And the Bible says, evil spirit came and began to torment him. Listen to verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Someone may ask, but how can this evil spirit be from the Lord? It is because God is in charge of all people, all spirits, and everything in heaven and on earth and under the earth. He allowed this spirit to come and torment Saul. But how was it allowed? Because the moment God removed his spirit, there was a vacuum. And in that vacuum, the evil spirit took an opportunity and began to torment and trouble him. David is then called in this scenario. But what happens is the servant of Saul said, let there be sought a man who can play well and is anointed to play the harp, so that when he plays, the king will be comforted and the evil spirit will go away from the king. And his servants, they said to him, there is a young man who is a mighty man, but also a skillful player of the harp, the son of Jesse. He can come and minister to you. And Saul says, go and look for him and bring him. And David is called to serve in the palace and play the harp for a king who had become demon possessed. But this is a season of preparation. Look at David. He has just been anointed to be king. But after that, he doesn't immediately walk into the throne or become king of Israel. He has to go through a season of preparation. And this is the beginning of it, where from looking after the sheep of his father, he now has to come and play for a man that is demon possessed and humble himself and serve King Saul, even though he has been anointed. Many times people try to skip and avoid this season of preparation because they feel they are ready, they've been anointed. But if you circumvent this process, it will catch up with you in future, because you'll be half-baked and you'll not be able to fulfill the purposes of God. But David began to serve as God began to prepare him to be the future king of Israel. Now we want to look at five lessons that we draw from this portion of scripture in this chapter that we've looked at, chapter 16. But before we go there, we see here in verse 21 where David was called to serve Saul, and says, and David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became an armor bearer. Now an armor bearer was one that used to carry the armor of someone else as they walked around or went to war. So it was a humble serving position. And this is where David starts from. He has been anointed to be king, but he doesn't start at the throne. He begins by serving as an armor bearer. Now it's important that if you are ever going to be great, you must learn to serve. Jesus says, he that wants to be great must be servant of all. Jesus called us to a place of servant leadership. It is when we humble ourselves that God will lift us up. So here is David. Verse 22 says, and Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. Verse 23, it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. That's the power of anointed music. That's why those that minister music and minister in church and praise and worship must be anointed, because when they minister under the anointing, they release the power of God that touches people to be healed, to be delivered. And as David was ministering in service, Saul was healed from his torment and the evil spirit would leave him. Now, five lessons from chapter 16. Number one is that God watches over his word to perform it, to fulfill it, even if it takes 10 generations. Now, in the book of Genesis, when Jacob was about to die, he prophesied over his sons. And there Jacob also prophesied over Judah, who was the firstborn. But he gives leadership to Judah, and he says, the scepter shall not depart out of Judah until Shiloh comes. So by this, he releases a word that the reign of kings will come through Judah, who was the firstborn, because a scepter is something that a king uses to reign. And 10 generations later, this prophecy is fulfilled in the life of David, who then later becomes the king of Israel. And from there on, every other king would come out of the lineage of David. So God watches over his word to perform it. Number two, God values obedience over sacrifice. The first king that was anointed for Israel, when Israel asked for a king, was Saul, and he's anointed. But Saul was disobedient to the voice of God. When you are supposed to wait for Samuel to offer sacrifice, he could not wait. And God said his kingdom would not continue forever. Later on, he's assigned to kill all things, animals, and the king, Agag. But he leaves the fat sheep and leaves Agag. And God is angry with him. And there he says, I have rejected Saul, for obedience is better than sacrifice. So it is important that you understand, Mzaluan, that God is not interested in you trying to sacrifice and do things that seemingly seem like you're sacrificing yourself, money. So God wants you to obey. When he speaks and tells you to do something, that you obey the voice of God. That is what God honors, obedience, more than any sacrifice that we can make. May God give you the grace to be obedient and to be in the perfect will of God. Lesson number three, God chooses and anoints people according to their heart and not according to their outward appearance. Many times people want to vote for people who look good outwardly. People usually in America, the presidents are usually a certain height because people vote with their eyesight, what they see on the outward. But when God chooses people to anoint, it's not the stature, it's not how handsome or beautiful or the money they have or the suit that they wear. No, God looks at the heart. When God is anointing, it is the heart that he is concerned about. David was chosen because of his heart. That was after the heart of God. And God says, I found one who is after my heart, and with holy oil have I anointed him. Oh, what a blessing. God is looking for men and women to anoint in this season and in this end time. He's looking for men and women who have a heart for God, men and women who love God, that he can anoint to be end time revival warriors that will carry the power of God in this generation. But he chooses and anoints by the heart. Hallelujah. Lesson number four, God anoints you first to prepare you for your calling and your destiny. It is very important to understand that the anointing of God will initially come to prepare you. Many people received the anointing and they thought they had arrived and took upon themselves big titles that they could not carry and ended up in frustration because they thought because the anointing of the Holy Spirit came upon them, they had already arrived, not understanding that initially the anointing at Bethlehem that David received was an anointing to prepare him. It was not an anointing for him to immediately become king. So even after the anointing, he went back to take care of his father's sheep. Later, he's called into the king's service as an armor bearer. But this young man had the anointing to become king one day. But he knew that he was not yet there. He had to be prepared. He had to be molded. He had to be shaped to prepare him for his destiny. Lesson number five. God will take you through a season of preparation as you serve someone else. This is the order of God. You cannot jump this process. Before you get to your destiny, you have to go through the area of humbling yourself and serving someone else. Serving someone else in the local church. It can be in a department, serving the chief musician there as you are part of the choir, serving the chief usher, serving your pastor in the local church, serving your lady pastor, serving in the house of God. As you serve someone else, that is the preparation. David has the calling to be king of Israel, but he had to serve Saul. And to make things worse, this was a king who was demon-possessed, full of evil spirits. But David humbled himself and served. That is what made him eligible for God to promote him and to give him the throne. for you to be eligible for the next level, for God to promote you. Humble yourself to serve and to serve someone well. As you do that, God will lift you up and He will promote you. Let us learn from the life of David in his early years that God will take us through a season of preparation, and that preparation will align us and prepare us for our destiny that is in the future. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for revelation that has come from the Spirit as we learn from the life of King David, as we see the journey that you took, Father, to choose him, to separate him, to anoint him, and to prepare him for his destiny. I pray for those that are listening right now, that God, they too, you may take them through this journey where God, you choose them, you select them, God, and you anoint them. May you release a fresh anointing upon their lives to prepare them for the season that is ahead, that you may use them. But God, may you prepare them, give them a heart of service, that they may serve faithfully. For your word says, they that are faithful with the little will be entrusted with much. So God, prepare your children to be vessels that will carry the power of God and the word of God in this generation. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you. Let's connect next week as we look at lesson 2, still on chapter 1, the early years of David. Amen.
Thank you for listening and following the lesson on the study of the life of David. For more Bible lessons, follow Reverend I.T. Matura on his podcast at innocentmatura.podbean.com.